Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, for healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is the show on the inside track to your health. I'm going to go after a topic today you must comprehend: lab tests. Every year you go into your doctor and you get your tests, and then you read your tests or your doctor reads your tests, and you're either happy or sad because the lab test says one thing or the other. For most of us, the lab tests say you're fine and nothing's wrong. That's a myth. There's always something going on that you should know about, except that the lab tests you're getting each year from your favorite healthcare provider aren't specific enough. They're not ordering the right tests. We're going to get into that today. As always, you're going to need to get a little bit educated. And of course, that's the theme of the show, that the more you know, the more leverage you can exert. And you certainly need to in the issue of lab tests. I'm not just talking about blood work. I'm talking about urine. I'm talking about saliva. I'm talking about feces. I'm talking about all these other fluids that you never get tested. And there's my point right from the onset. So today's show, the lab tests you need to order. But we're going to go a little further than that. We're going to get into the diagnostic scans. I'm going to make an argument for thermography. And if you're on the site, straighttalk.cc, I even put a little ad there debunking thermography, saying avoid the full-body thermography gimmicks. The reason you don't get thermography paid for, the reason thermography isn't generally done, and it's not, is because it's considered a scam. I'm going to break that down. There's two sides to the coin. And again, if you're educated enough to understand how to use thermography, guess what? It's an invaluable tool. I even have someone down here in the Anaheim area, Leslie Remington, who's been doing thermography for years. She's written books. I mean, she's top notch. And you ought to put that in your arsenal. Again, you got to qualify the statement, and I will. And that's the problem. Blood tests you don't get because there's objection to their validity. But the objection to the validity can easily be overcome if you know how to interpret the test. Your doctors are not doing this. Your hospitals are not doing this. Thus, you're not getting the test, and every year you walk out being deluded. All right, let's get to it. As always, get to the website if you can, straighttalk.cc, not .com.cc. That's with two T's. If you're driving, just listen. If you can't get to the computer, listen, and then get to my archives when you can. This is the kind of shows you got to listen to more than once. All right. Let's get simple. Every year you get what you call a complete blood count. If you're on the site, look at that panel. You know the complete gut blood count. Now let me take it apart for you, okay? Number one, you're going to look at hemoglobin. Every year you got to know your hemoglobin. The whole hemoglobin thing gets mauled. Now, of course, you need to know hemoglobin is that molecule inside a red blood cell that captures oxygen. It's a porphyrin ring where the iron in the center of this red blood cell captures oxygen in the lung, travels to your cells, dumps it off, picks up carbon dioxide and brings it to the lung so you can exhale your excretion, that being carbon dioxide. So hemoglobin's important. It's really important. Why? Because if you don't have hemoglobin, you can't pick up oxygen in the lung. That's why you get it measured. Now, here's where everyone gets screwed up. The norm for hemoglobin, let's say for men, is 12.5 to 17. Meaning when they take the blood, they take a volume of blood, in this case a deciliter of blood. So 1/10 of a liter, not too much. It's about 3 ounces of blood, right? And what do? They weigh out the amount of hemoglobin after they figure out how to electrophorese it out of the solution. Then they weigh it and they tell you, in this volume of blood, you have that much hemoglobin. And if the number's low, they tell you that's no good because you can't pick up enough oxygen. Of course, there is no system or pathway in chemistry you study that doesn't involve oxygen. I mean, if there's a dude, it's oxygen. Oxygen runs the show. Low oxygen anywhere. Generally, it means you're in trouble. So this hemoglobin is so important. This is where the mistake is made. Number one, let's say the norm is 12.5 to 17. 12.5 to 17. And you measure out 13. You're going to go home thinking that's normal. Your doctor's going to tell you that's normal. You got a 50-50 shot in reality of that being normal. Why? Well, suppose you get up on a great Saturday morning like today, and before you listen to my show, you decide to swim. You decide to run. You decide to go out into the neighborhood and do something strenuous because you want to get yourself in shape. If you're running a hemoglobin at 12.5, you're going to bring that hemoglobin way lower than 12.5 and way into anemia. Because you decided to work out. How about ladies during your menstrual cycle? When you start bleeding, suppose you take your lab panel and it comes out 12.5 and that lab was drawn, that blood was drawn, say, 2 to 3 days before you started bleeding. If you're 12.5 before you start bleeding, 3 days into that bleed, you're anemic. And that anemia can last you a week, which means 25% of your month is spent with low tissue oxygen. Well, why don't they tell you that? And this is where interpretation begins. 12.5 is too low. Now, here's what to do about it. There's something called serum ferritin. No, you didn't get that test. No, your doctor, it's not your doctor, really. I mean, it is and it's not. It's the corporation doesn't want to spend the money. Unless there's a real good reason, like you're dead. It's about money. Generally, it's about money. I would say usually it's about money. Sometimes it's just your medical doctor is just not taking the right amount of time. You've got to run serum ferritin. If your low end of the hemoglobin is 12.5, even if you're a 13.5, you've got to run serum ferritin. Why? Serum ferritin is stored iron. The liver, right? Liver and onions, liver and bacon, the liver. Your liver stores everything. Everything there is to store. I can't say enough about the liver, including you can cut it in half and it'll grow back in a year or two. How's that? Imagine that. Imagine if we were equipped with brains. We'd all still have memories, wouldn't we? Brains that regenerated. The liver will regrow. The brain does not regrow. You cut out half your brain, you're in trouble. You cut out half your liver a year or two later, it grows back. What an organ. I'm a liver guy. The liver is fascinating. And it does everything. It runs every biochemical system in the body, just about. So what does the liver do? It stores iron. It's called serum ferritin. If you get your ferritin measured and your ferritin is low, borderline low, and your hemoglobin's borderline low, both instances, you're going to be told you're fine. And yet, you are truly anemic. Now, I'm going to go on like this for an hour, and we'll only do a tenth of what I could have done. And you really got to ask yourself, what's going on? But we can ask ourselves what's going on about a lot more things than just health. For my purposes, let's stick to health. What is going on? And I'll tell you why. Because you want to know what's happening long before it happens. Look, we can't tell exactly when you're going to get heart disease, meaning you're going to have a heart attack. We can't tell the day you're going to have a stroke. We can't tell the day you're going to have a cancer. We can't tell the day you're going to have an autoimmune disease, but we can see bad stuff coming. And we have tests, if they're done, that profile you out in ways you're not regularly being profiled, that can give us a darn good sense of what you're headed for. Now, there's shades of gray within these statements. And what I want you, the public, to understand is those shades of gray are very problematic for our health model. In other words, if we build a profile for you through blood testing that says you're a little off here and a little off there and a little off here and a little off there, and collectively you're a mess, the way things work now is nobody's going to be able to say to you, you got something or you're going to get sick. It doesn't work that way. The way testing works is you got to get sick first. And when you get sick, then we can tell you what you already know, which is you're sick. Then we say, well, look at that blood test there. You see that? Based on that blood test, you're about to pass out. You already know that. The tests you're not getting, the tests I'm including for you today, are the ones you should be interpreting with your healthcare physician. So you can get profiled out. Now, in some instances, they try to do this. Generally, they fail terribly. That's why I do this show. Let's keep going. All right, so hemoglobin. Enough said about that. I can't get to everything, guys. I can't do everything. If your WBCs and your RBCs are consistently low, if both are consistently low, start thinking about your bone marrow. If your WBCs and RBCs are low, start understanding your bone marrow is not pumping it out. It's called aplastic anemia. Long before you get a disease, long before you may never get a disease, if your bone marrow's out to lunch, say, 25% of the time, if production in the marrow is down because the marrow's fibrotic, which is a disease, myelofibrosis, but if it's not yet that disease and it's, say, 10% of that, 20% of that disease, you're already hurting. I want you to get this. I want you to get the problem with the way things work. If we take your heart and your brain and your kidney and your bone marrow, heart, brain, kidney, bone marrow, and none of those systems are so defective that you have a bona fide disease, you're told you're fine. But suppose your heart's down 25%, your brain's down 25%, your bone marrow is down 25%, and so on. If every system you consider is just down to a considerable level, meaning it's less optimal in its output, whatever it is, brain to think, heart to pump blood, bone marrow to produce cells, if each of those systems is down 10%, 15%, 20%, you don't have a disease anywhere, but collectively you're a mess. Do you copy? Does the American public copy on this? This is the crock of blood testing. This is the crock of diagnostic testing. Now, what should be happening is we should be measuring these systems when they're down 5% or 10%. And we should see the collective you. It really works this way, guys. I'm not making this up. And the reason you're not hearing this generally is because no one's thinking. But if you sit down with a bunch of biochemists, those are the people that don't make any money. Those are the people that study much harder than medical doctors. These are the people who know what's going on. These are the people who study the stuff all day long that the medical community just skips over in medical school. If you really and truly sit down with them, they'll think the way I'm suggesting we should be thinking. Blood testing, different types of CTs, MRIs, sonic testing should be used in a more subtle way so that we can determine minimal deficits and not wait for the big kaboom.